up a wreath, picking out a tree, addressing cards, and playing our Philadelphia Orchestra glorious sounds off Christmas CD. The lectionary gives us this: a crazy man in the wilderness, calling people a name whose actual translation I can only repeat among my friends in Wednesday morning Bible study, with whom I feel safe. What's said in Bible study stays in Bible study. The lectionary gives us this: a wild man threatening eternal judgment unless we begin to bear fruit. What is Advent about anyway? In a word, John's word, Advent is about repentance. It is a word that long ago dropped out of the vocabulary of even the most religious, so I think a little homework is in order this morning. Look up repentance in the dictionary, and you read that it is the act of expressing regret or remorse for wrongdoing or sin. In addition, Webster says, darkly, see, penitence, penitentiary. Early on, the church bought into this definition. Of the two words in Scripture that are rendered repentance in English, the old Latin and Latin Vulgate favored one of these words, penitentia. Penitentia. See penitence. Penance. Prescribed prayers or acts designed to rid the soul and body of self-love. The problem with this first definition of repentance from the perspective of our own theological tradition is oddly its secularity. Repentance is something we can do to improve ourselves, albeit with the church's imprimatur, but with no need of a redeemer. To get at our strengths and talents to impress others. Paranoia is as quickly turned warmth into cold, understanding into suspicion, and generosity into self-protection. The posture of metanoia, by contrast, is seen in Jesus, particularly seen in Jesus on the cross, exposed and vulnerable, his arms spread in a gesture of embrace, his hands open with nails to them. I thought I could acquire faith by trying to live a holy life or something like it, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote to his friend Eberhard Baker from Tegel Prison a few months before the end. I thought I could acquire faith by living a holy life. I discovered later, and I'm still discovering right up to this moment, that it is only by living completely in the world that one learns to have faith. Living unreservedly in life's duties, problems, successes, failures, experiences, and perplexities. In so doing, we are throwing ourselves completely into the arms of God, taking seriously not our own sufferings, but those of God in the world. That, I think, is faith, says Bonhoeffer. That is metanoia. Paranoia and metanoia, Allen says, are two ways of being in the world. For now, in repentance, metanoia has to do with the death of the self threatened by death. A redemptive death. A death that means death will never finally touch us. A death that is not ours to accomplish, but Christ's. A death foreshadowed in Jesus' birth that sent John into the wilderness to prepare the way. Homework done, the story begins. When the story of Herod's massacre of the innocent baby boys in Jerusalem ends with news of Herod's death and the return of the Holy Family to Nazareth, Matthew leaps ahead 30 years to the appearance of John the Baptist in the wilderness of Judea. Notice first where John does not appear. Not in the city of present political and religious arrangements, where you go to get things done and decided. Rather, as late in time, prophet appears on the margins, in the wilderness, the place of revelation and judgment in the Old Testament, the place of redemption and judgment in the New. Curiously, the people of Jerusalem and all Judea and the region along the Jordan leave the places of power to go out to John in the wilderness, where the first word out of his mouth is, "Repent! Metanoia!" Advent begins in the wilderness. We must first leave the places and institutions and voices that have led us Those who came out were baptized by John in the River Jordan, confessing the distance they had lived from the God for whom they were made. The vast majority of us in this congregation have been baptized, and once in the Presbyterian Church is all you get. Therefore, an advent to repent is to remember our baptism. Remember that once you died to life without God in the waters of baptism, washed over your little head, or dripping down your wrinkled face, or drowning your whole body in a pool or a river. Remember your baptism. Remember that in these waters of grace you died to death's power over your life. Remember your baptism and see through your reborn eyes of love the light shining out of the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. Finally, to repent in Advent is to submit to judgment. Unlike our assurance of pardon, there is judgment, because judgment is first God's way of love. Any parent knows that. We read that there were Pharisees and Sadducees among those in the wilderness that day. And here the translation, again, is tricky because of a pesky little word, epi, E-P-I. It can mean the religious establishment was coming out for John's baptism, or they were coming out against John's baptism. Our translation gives them the benefit of the doubt, but John does not. He calls them something like a brood of vipers, snakes that literally eat their way out of their mother's womb. They stand for those whose way in the world is the way of paranoia, not metanoia. The way of death, not life. John preached the gospel of God's judgment to these men, which spelled death to their old selves, their closed minds, their well-defended hearts. John preached good news, but you can guess, on the basis of the rest of Matthew's gospel, they were having none of it. Some part of us wants none of it either. All human nature vigorously resists grace, Flannery O'Connor once said, because grace changes us, and change is painful. Still, whether or not, God's kingdom is coming near. In this season, therefore, our clenched hands must be unclenched and empty. Our closed minds must be opened and waiting. Our controlled lives must be shattered and set upon the foundation of his forgiveness. He slays us so that he may make us alive, Lord says. In no other